And again, Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your week. Beautiful day here in Middle Tennessee. Feels like fall, because it is. Boy, does it get dark early, thanks to falling back and getting that extra hour on Sunday. Man, it gets pitch black by like 5 o'clock, which is weird, but that's the time of year. We are in November. Darren McFarland, that's me down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is hanging over at his pad in East Nashville, while Chase McCabe is always in parts unknown. He just works the city on a daily basis.
He is a man on the move.
He's
hard to keep up with.
You would think he's running from something. He's not, but you would think he was, because he's always on the move.
I keep you guys guessing. I keep the ladies guessing. You never know where I'm going to be.
Well, we do know you're retired from downtown, though.
I am
retired.
Unless that's all part of the act, and you know that's just part of the trickeration.
Listen, I've got some offers, you know, from a few teams to come out of retirement, and I'm good right now.
Okay.
You know, I might be like Gronk. I might take a year off.
Take your time. Yeah, you could take a year off.
Might take a year off, be like Gronk, and then come back. But I'm good right now.
Or be like Brett Favre and come back for several different cities downtown. Just go year to year, city to city.
Yes. Indeed.
So you have not broken the R word. You have not ended that.
I have not.
Okay.
I have not.
Right. You continue to be on Broadway retirement.
Yep.
Okay. We've got a loaded show for you today. We're excited. We've got a lot of things to cover, as you can imagine. We'll talk with TD to start the second hour of the program, Teron Davenport, and take an even deeper dive. It's going to be a lot of dives off a lot of diving boards. Some will be head first. Some will be cannonballs. You just don't know. Some will be a lousy dive, which would be me. I never learned how to dive. That's a true story. I've been in water my whole life. Still never learned how to dive. That ship has sailed. I won't. So
what about a full flip like in the movie Boogie Nights? That was Mark Wahlberg and his buddy.
Yeah, no.
At the pool party, they went full flip.
Can't do that either. Yeah, can't do that either.
I used to be able to do the full flip. I'm very timid now. I just, the last time I tried, it just didn't go well.
I used to jump off diving boards all the time. High dive, low dive.
It's hard to find a good diving board these days.
No, you're right. Yeah, it's probably.
A lot of insurance stuff. I was going to say, people don't go there. They just don't. Back in the day, when I grew up in Florida, like, it was at least 50% of the people in my neighborhood had a pool, and they all had diving boards. Yeah, we spent tons of time
boards.
On that.
Sure, sure. You grew up on diving
boards.
Yeah. I learned how to dive. I was about 6, and I wouldn't say I have any type of great form or anything, especially now with my current physical state.
Chase, I'm just conjuring up. I think that would be amazing video. If we could find you going off the diving board, I just think that would be viral in a matter of hours.
I'll do it.
Let's
set that up this summer.
Find some home movies of you coming off the diving board.
Oh, you're talking about older. I thought you meant
that.
Now. I think now.
Well, that too. That too. But I just want to see your.
Would you do it now for us?
Sure.
You would do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
We could go over to like Centennial or something.
I guess
Centennial,
if you'll do anything for Joe Dubin, you should do anything for the show. So.
Yeah. I mean, if you haven't figured out by now, I there's not much I won't do.
Right, but I guess not to go down this rabbit hole, because this is not the point of this, but when you say I don't have great form, like, I don't think anybody, including us listening, thought, I bet his form is great. If you've listened to the show, that's just a part of a sentence that hasn't gone together. Chase and good form. At anything, fill in the blank. Good form.
But this is why we need to bring this out on video, because I feel like it could be a before, after, or could it be a stage of life development. Chase, we just start getting some documentation, some footage out there, so we get the baseline, and then if you can improve, we can show that improvement over time. It all starts with your curling that we did a couple years ago. That was the first captured on video. That was quite the sight.
That's
the baseline.
Right, and that had better chance at form, which we saw how that turned out, than I think the diving board.
And then we had the three-point shooting.
Diving board's tough.
We had the three-point shooting at Middle Tennessee, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that was bad.
So that's baseline
that was
two.
Really bad.
So there's nowhere to go but up. But this is great. We just need a series of these. So the next one is the diving board.
Don't forget the easiest of all, just picking up a sledgehammer and hitting a car. That
yes.
was probably
yes.
the easiest chance at form there is. Just grab a sledgehammer and pound a car.
Can we do a compilation? Let's start with that compilation of those three right there, Chase. And then we're going to establish the baseline. And then the next chapter will be going off the diving board.
Okay.
This will be awesome. And then field goal kicking will be in there.
No.
Got to get that in there.
Let me ask this question. What do you think, what form do you think is worse? Me trying to dive off a diving board or the Titans pass rush?
Oh,
segue. Way to get off the subject. Nicely done.
Thank you very much. I'll be here all week.
Outstanding. That was well done by you. All right. Well, since you let's go there. I mean, this is where we're going to be today. Let's open up the floodgates. I'll just start with, you know, kind of our pick six theme on Friday. If you would have told me, and I had fully admitted that I have been awful picking the Titans this year. I mean, every time I think they're going to cover, they don't cover. Every time I don't think they're going to cover, they cover. I mean, I've been awful against them. The only game I've gotten right this year, I believe, is I actually took the Steelers, which nobody was taking, and I actually took, and I was like, well, that'll be a loss, like every week. I think that's the only one I've won. And this week, I went top shelf Titans. And not only did they not cover 6.5, they were never leading the game. Just think about that out loud. They were never leading the Cincinnati Bengals. And if you'd have told me the game was going to play out like that, if you'd have told me it's a close game, Titans win by a field goal, you know, I'd say, well, they've won all kinds of close games this year, or even a point. I mean, they've done that this year, yeah, so that shouldn't surprise anybody. But if you'd have told me they would not only lose, but they would never lead and they would be playing catch-up on the Cincinnati Bengals the entire game, I would say, what do you want to bet, and let's do it. I'll sign up right now. Thank goodness nobody did that.
I would have, too.
Because I would have lost whatever we would have bet. I would have lost. And just sitting here today, I don't believe what we saw yesterday afternoon.
Well, I think it goes back to we set the tone last Monday, right? Because we talked a lot about they're not getting any pressure on the quarterback in terms of Ben Roethlisberger, and Roethlisberger picked them apart. And we said, well, what's the remedy for that? And I started off the conversation by saying, well, you're going to play the Bengals, a team that cannot protect the quarterback. And not only that, we found out from Monday through Friday, the Bengals not only had problems, but now they had to replace two or three offensive linemen. Quentin Spain.
Four. I think it ended up being four starters.
Yeah, and Quentin Spain shows up off the street and is in there.
Yeah.
You know, the former Titan.
The Bills had cut him. Just cut him.
Yeah. So, we said it all week. If you can't get a pass rush against the Bengals, it will be alarming. Well,
it's alarming.
The alarm is going. It's one of those things where you wake up and somebody set the alarm off. Like, somebody please turn the alarm off.
Yeah, please turn it off. It's annoying.
It's going to be on for a while until they prove otherwise. So that was sad. Zero sacks. That was one of our pick six, right? Mm-hmm. And they should have had two. They should have had the two.
Yep.
That were just complete breakdowns, unblocked guys. They had two or three shots on the one play. That would have been one thing. If they had sacked him on those two plays, it still would have been alarming because they dropped back about 40 times.
And sat back there
and he just
popped up.
There was just nothing. There was no pressure.
Roasted marshmallows. I mean, Joe Burrow could do whatever the heck he wanted to do back there.
And Joe Burrow is really good. He had a great game. He threw some – I mean, say what you will about the pass rush and the secondary, which is also a big issue right now, but – I have to say, Joe Burrow made some great throws. And some of those receivers, and it wasn't A.J. Green. It was the young Boyd and Higgins. And who's the other big guy, number 19? Goodness.
Tate, who came into the game with four catches and left the game with seven catches? He had four catches on the year. He had seven yesterday.
So you got to credit those guys. They did make some tough throws into some small windows. But so Burrow is – could be special, but we knew that was the case, right? That's you knew going in that Burrow could beat you if you didn't get any heat on him, and they didn't get any heat on him.
Yeah, I mean, and it's there's no excuse for it. Like, why are we still having this conversation? I go back to something I keep saying. I mean, it feels like every year, oh, the Titans need pass rush. The Titans need pass rush. Pass rush. They signed two free agents this year that are supposed to help with that.
A lot of money in that. A lot of money.
Mm-hmm. A lot of money. What, $21 million?
Yeah.
Between the two of them? Vic Beasley, I mean, I was seeing tweets of just cut him already, and I can't say that I necessarily disagree.
Well, lining up offsides twice didn't help.
I mean, he finally got noticed. I mean, the good news is we finally noticed him. He was actually visible yesterday for literally all the wrong reasons. I mean, this signing, and you guys have heard me say this for a good amount of weeks. I don't know what you give somebody a chance early
on.
Right,
you give them time.
There were reasons to think it might take a while. I have said he is an absolute zero. I mean, he is worthless to this roster. And right now, sitting here today as they approach the midway point of their season, Vic Beasley is about as bad of a deal as the Kevin Dodd draft. That's what it is. It's equivalent to that draft pick. Just a complete zero. I mean, he has no impact. In fact, I think he hurts the team.
I agree.
Nowhere to be found. I think he actually hurts this team.
I think you're right. He has. The Pro Football Focus, I saw John Glennon's tweet. You know, John is usually really on it in passing along the Pro Football Focus grades. He graded the lowest in a game where he played the most snaps that he's played all year. He graded out the lowest. So he didn't have a tackle. He had two offsides. He didn't do anything to get after the passer that is supposed to be his strong suit. So it can't be going any worse for Beasley. So that was the thing, Darren. You were willing to look the first 3 or 4 weeks and say it's going to take time for Beasley, right? It's realistically, it's more of a long view. But now he should be rounding in the shape. You should start to see some progress, and you're seeing none. And as you mentioned, he's a minus. He's not even a zero. He's a minus on the field. So that's rough right now. So you have one day to decide, do you want to try to make a move? And we know what goes into making a move. You got to give up an asset to get something. And what you're getting, A, you have the whole protocol thing, so you don't get the guy on the field the next day. And B, you have to ask the question, why would this guy be available? And is he really better than what you have? It's a tough place to be.
Well, in the secondary, too. I mean, the secondary is basically because of injury. Or not basically.
Sure.
It is because of injury. I mean, it's so thin. I mean, they need a Dory Jackson in the worst way to get healthy.
And Jonathan Joseph is not working out.
No.
It's just not working
out. Well, he's playing a role that he shouldn't be playing. Like, they did not bring him in to be a main corner. But they don't have a choice. And so it's clear that where he is on the field, the other team is saying,
Where is he? There he is.
Okay, that's where I'm going.
Yep.
And that's what they should do.
I saw the name Joseph a lot yesterday on my television.
Yeah. I think they were 8 for 10 throwing against Joseph, according to Pro Football Focus. So that's pretty efficient.
And how do you see that? It's because he was the one running with, you know, his back to you, and you could just read Joseph. He was chasing a receiver all day.
And honestly, it's too bad because he's being put in a position. First, as we mentioned, he's getting no help from the pass rush. He should not be expected to cover guys at his age. He was brought in to be sort of a specialist, an extra guy who could play, you know, a secondary role. But he's one of their main guys. They don't have anybody else.
No, I don't put a ton of blame on the secondary because that fourth down play, to me, summed up this pass rush all season long. That's where you just shake your head and go, you've got to be kidding me. Like, that Cincinnati offensive line, I swear, I didn't count, but it felt like Joe Burrow had 15 seconds to make up his mind. And in the NFL, if you give any quarterback that much, I mean, honestly, they're going to convert all day. There is no secondary that can cover that long. There's no secondary in the NFL that can hold somebody in check that long. And that is all about what's going on up front. So when we come back, let's go a little bit further about this with this. And we want to hear from you, by the way, this hour too. Jump in there on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-7337. 102.5. Mike Vrabel was asked about it yesterday. He's going to get asked about it today. So, Mike, if you're listening, get ready. I know sometimes you're surprised that you're going to get asked about the defensive coordinator, okay? You're just going to. And so have your answer prepared and ready to go. Don't be surprised when it comes up. And there even maybe a follow-up or two. So just get ready for that because it's coming. I'm trying to help you out, give you a warning. So you've got hours until you talk at 1:15. Well, 3 hours from now, because it's going to get asked. And let's talk about that. And I'm going to pose to you guys. There are guys on this roster on the defensive side of the ball that coming into the season, we weren't worried about at all. And now I'm going to ask you, where have they been? Are you surprised where they've been this year? And who's to blame for that? So we'll come back. We'll discuss that and a lot more. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Mike, in particular, okay. In defensive coordination, do you regret that you didn't name or find a defensive coordinator? How much of a factor is that in all these struggles right now?
I would say that that's not a factor. I'm positive that that's not a factor. We have to continue to coach better and play better, but I'm certain that that's not that's what leading to us giving up points and us not getting off the field on third down.
Why are you certain about that, Mike?
Because I'm sitting there and I watch everything that we do, and I watch the tape. I watch how we coach, and I watch how we practice, and I watch how we play, Joe. Some
days a die. There we go. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel / defensive coordinator, or however that role is being played out behind the scenes. They seem to still be kind of vague. I guess it's Shane Bowen. I don't know. It feels like...
Not by title.
Feels like Mike Vrabel. No, you're right. Not by title. So it's still kind of a mystery how that is being played out. He's going to get asked about it more today.
He said how it works, right? That Shane Bowen... That he's on the headset with Shane Bowen. Shane Bowen basically makes the calls, and they discuss back and forth throughout the game. What do you like? What do we adjust? All that stuff. So the system, I don't think he's been too secretive.
So the co-defensive coordinator?
Well,
somebody's got to be. Somebody's got to take charge.
They do not have a person with that title.
I understand, somebody's got to take charge.
So that is the question, really, is, just because you don't have the title, that in and of itself doesn't mean you can't play good defense. But when you're playing subpar defense, people are going to ask that question. We pinpointed this in the summer, right? We knew this would be a question if, in fact, they did struggle. I thought it was interesting how emphatic his answer was, mm-hmm. right? He was emphatic. So I don't think that's going to change today when he is asked, and he will be asked, as you said, Darren, the same question when they face the media. Now he'll have a chance to go back through the game and look at where it went wrong. I don't expect his answer to change. And I'm gonna trust him. I think he knows enough football to know whether it's him and / the system of how they're putting it together. But he knows they're not getting it done. And you have players saying we're not on the same page. Kevin Byard has been saying that.
Okay, so that's
but
where
you also
I was
have
going.
A per, you also have a personnel problem too.
Okay, but that's where I was
you
going
do.
During the break. We have never questioned Kevin Byard and what he brings to the table. Okay, never. He's been paid. Everybody recognizes him in his role. That he is one of the best in the league. He's a Pro Bowler. And yet this year, tell me, there's no Dean Pease. You tell me why Kevin Byard really isn't a factor this season. Why? How does that happen? Quite honestly, Rashawn Evans, who we really like on this show, kind of talking about that next step and what he's watching his progression and how good he's been every just getting better and better. He's gotten better a bit this year.
No, he's been a disappointment.
So
if I'm being honest.
So why? We haven't questioned whether Rashawn Evans or Kevin Byard were good enough at this league and could contribute in this league and can help this defense. So why isn't it working whenever you don't have Dean Pease and you've got whatever's going on behind the scene with a defensive coordinator, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's not working. So how do you explain those guys who we've never questioned what they bring to the table so far as we approach the midway point really haven't been factors whatsoever on this defense?
Well, I think Vrabel's trying
under
to
their thumb.
Right. I think Vrabel's trying to do too much. I think this is a perfect case of he's trying to be the head coach. He's trying to manage the defense. He's trying to allow Shane Bowen, who's a young coach, his friend, has been with Vrabel for a long time. He's trying to allow him the opportunity to you know, possibly take this role, but still he's got his hands all over it. He's not just letting Shane run with it, which I don't know what that says, but if you trust him so much, then name him the DC and get out of the way. But he's not willing to do that. And so it's causing issues. Yes, Willie, what you said earlier is true. There are personnel issues. Absolutely. But there are coaching issues too. We've discussed this. Is it the scheme? Is it the players? Well, I think it's a combination of everything, that there's coaching that needs to be done that isn't getting done, and I think he's got way too much on him. He needs a true defensive coordinator, whether it's giving Shane Bowen the reins and saying go for it or bringing somebody else in. There were names available this summer, including the guy that is now the interim coach of the Houston Texans that he has a history with, who's a pretty darn good defensive coordinator and has been in his career. But I still go back to the 1 year he was the DC in Houston. They were the worst in the league. Had injuries.
We talked about it on Friday. They were missing a lot of their star players. They didn't play much of that season. J.J. Watt and Merciless. But or
still
not. No, was it? It was.
It was Clowney.
Clowney.
No, Merciless was hurt as well.
Merciless
and Watt was
and
hurt.
Watt. That's who it was. Okay, I was right. It was Merciless and Watt. I think they played a little bit less than half the games that season.
To me, that's that's history. I think Vrabel's overall knowledge of the game, I would hope, would win out. His honest assessment, his honest self-assessment, because I think that's the important thing. As we've said throughout, the challenge of a season is to how do you get better over the course of the season? And it starts with an honest self-evaluation. And I'm trusting that his self-evaluation is honest, that that's not the issue. Because if it were, I think he would easily make some adjustment. That's how I see it. Now, the only thing that could be happening is his pride is getting in the way. And that can happen, right? You get so competitive, maybe that can happen. But the good thing for them is they're 5-2, and they still have time to fix this. I don't know if it's going to be through the trade market here. I'm really curious, really throughout the league, how many trades we'll see in the next 24 hours, because there are a bunch of teams that probably could use an extra body here. But at what price? At what cost are you willing to sacrifice some future assets to get what you want right now? It's risky.
I still just think they're not going to do anything. They should. I mean, they should certainly at least make it work for now and for the future. You know, I know we've thrown out Gilmore, and, you know, is that something? I mean, there's obviously a lot that would have to go into that. So it has to make sense. But I just think they're not going to do that. I think this is going to be more of a waiver wire, practice squad, free agency kind of deal. I mean, I know there's been some players released, but I don't really know how much they help this team.
Let's go to Tyrikus, who is calling in on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Tyrikus, what's up?
Hey, man, how you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
Okay, listen, 3rd and 3, cornerback 10 yards out the wide receiver, 3-yard slant, catch the ball, foul 4, first down. This is my question, man. Even if we do go get a defensive coordinator, how often will we likely see him and Mike Vrabel into it, because he calling the play down on the field that Mike Vrabel is not calling? He wanted to change the play because, the last call goes through him. How do you guys feel about that? If we do get a defensive coordinator, I can see it being a big problem, but we need a defensive quarterback near the bat. You know what I'm trying to say?
Well, let's take one thing that I think we all would agree we're seeing. I'm just not qualified. I'm not going to pretend that I know what it's like, defensive coordinator, communication to the linebacker, whoever's got the headset on, and everybody on the same page. But I think we all are seeing that what is happening is the last few weeks, they are playing the bend but don't break. They are not playing press coverage. I think their belief is we don't have the personnel. We don't have the corners to play press coverage in most situations. And so they are giving up a lot of – when it's 3rd and 3, it's like you know the chains are moving. right? They can't get any heat on the quarterback, and they're just going to the matchup, and a good quarterback like Burrow is just picking them apart. But they feel like that's better than gambling and giving up big plays. So they have not given up a lot of big plays. But what's happening is you end up giving up 69 offensive plays to a, you know, an okay offense, not a great offense, and the Bengals had the ball for 36 minutes. And so they pick up all these first downs, they keep the chains moving, they keep the clock running, and your first-rate offense doesn't get the ball much. It lowers the possessions of what's happening. So that they're getting burned. They need to be able to get more stops, at least in the red zone. And their offense to this point has been good enough to overcome it. But they have one game where they're not perfect, right? They throw an interception in the end zone. They miss a field goal. They miss an extra point, and that's the difference in the game, right? Maybe it's 31-31 if they play perfect offensively. But when the other team has the ball for 36 minutes and doesn't turn it over, and it's third and three, and it's just pitch and catch, that's where they're losing the game.
When four out of your seven games you've given up more than 30 points, that's a problem. And I don't see that getting any better anytime soon. As to his question of, well, how do you truly keep the head coach who wants input? Well, you have to probably have somebody like Dean Pease, somebody that he respects, or you have to earn the respect, which I feel like Arthur Smith has done, right? He was given an opportunity, and sitting here today, I don't know how – I'm not saying Mike Vrabel is absent from any of their meetings. He doesn't ever check in on the office. No, I don't believe that. I believe he still has a presence, but I think he lets Arthur Smith do what he needs to do with his personnel and his people week in and week out. Do you guys agree with that?
Yes. I agree. There's no question.
So he's going to have to do that with whenever this happens. It's not happening this year. But moving forward, this is probably not going to get fixed. I don't know how it could get fixed. It'll be a point of emphasis over the offseason. They won't be able to come back with no defensive coordinator named, and it'll have to be somebody that will either already have the built-in trust from the head coach, or it's going to be somebody that's going to have to earn it and earn it quickly, you know, so he can let him do his job.
I think you're probably right. But let's get back to the fundamental question. Let's say you had pick a great defensive mind from the past, whether it's Dean Pease or
Dick LeBeau,
just whoever it is, right? And you go in there and you say, all right, help me fix this. If me, you, and Chase are out there, let's just take a basketball reference. The three of us, we can't guard anybody, right? We're poor defenders, man-to-man. We can't play man-to-man. You know that we're going to get beat. We're going to have to foul. We're going to give up layups. The guy's going to blow right by us. So I say, well, we got to play zone. We got to play zone every possession. And we're getting gunned from the 3-point line, right? But what it's like you're darned if you do, darned if you don't, right? You can't really ask some of these guys to do what they're not capable of doing.
Well,
Joseph can't man up. He can't at this stage of his career. He's just not that guy.
Well, what
you got practice squad guys
is
in there?
The GM,
and you have no
problem.
Pass rush.
You are saying the GM is the problem because the GM didn't fix any of this stuff and didn't give them the proper personnel, because that's what you're saying.
Well, sort of.
The GM signed Jonathan Joseph. He brought him in. He brought in Clowney. He brought in Vic Beasley. Then you're blaming John Robinson. You're saying these coaches don't have a chance because the general manager didn't bring in the correct personnel.
Well, it's a combination of that, and you're missing Fulton, who's not – he's hurt.
Well,
and
he's a rookie.
You haven't had Jackson.
He's a rookie, and Adoree Jackson will be back. And so people are missing people. I say this all the time. There's no roster that's fully healthy and upright and available every week. People are missing key players every single week in the National Football League. Everybody deals with adversity. It's not just the Titans. Everybody. Go look at the rosters. Go look at the inactives every week. Everybody deals with inactives and people that they are counting on every single week.
Yep.
It's not just the Titans.
And they're
5-2.
So there
is no such thing as a healthy roster.
Right. And they're 5-2, and they've overcome it to a point.
But I'm not willing to go as far as you and say, well, they're just not equipped. I don't believe that.
They have
players on defense.
If they get a pass rush. They have zero pass rush.
So why can't they get a pass rush?
So why can't they? Right. Why is Kevin Byard confused? Why are others saying they're confused? I mean, this was the same stuff that was going on in Dallas. I mean, they're calling out the coaches in a subtle way.
Right.
Now, it's a little bit different because in Dallas, they were terrible, so that's usually when the voices get really loud. But when you're good, it has to be subtle. That was a subtle hint from a guy that does a lot of film work and a guy who does do his homework and a guy who has been a star in this league and a guy who's not who's underperforming right now. In a subtle way, he's calling out the coaches or the scheme or however you want to put it. Kevin Byard is saying something isn't right behind the scenes.
Well, he's saying that, but I really think.
Chase, you agree?
Yes.
When you can't rush the passer, I don't care what scheme you're playing, it's going to be tough. You guys just got done saying it. If you had a great secondary, it'd still be trouble if you can't get after the quarterback, especially when the other team has a patchwork offensive line.
You traded away Jarrell Casey. Jeffrey Simmons is not the problem. He was not good yesterday, but he's getting double teamed, so he's doing his part. He's getting double teamed, so that should free up other guys.
That's what you expect.
Daquan Jones is a guy you paid. So, look, then you're basically saying this problem is the GM's problem. That's what you're saying.
And I think you're onto something. And what is, in John Robinson's tenure, when we're doing an evaluation of him, what is something that we always say, well, hadn't been – he's had some hits, and he's had some pretty big misses. That's free agency. The draft, yeah, I mean, you know, it's the draft is never going to be perfect. The draft is an imperfect science, and I think he's drafted relatively well in his time here. But it's free agency. Deion Lewis.
Although they're not getting anything from this latest draft class. Basically,
no,
nothing.
They're not. You're right. They're not.
So
Isaiah Wilson
this
right now
year is a basically right now, this point through seven games, is an almost zero.
Yep,
even though
good.
Fulton has played, and so it can't be a zero, but they're not getting hardly any production from this draft class.
Chris Jackson has been, you know, up and down.
He's been a
late-round pick. So.
Late-round pick, rookie. What do you really expect?
I would actually say they've probably gotten more out of him
than
they expected to. So,
yep.
Yes, I agree with you on that. But free agency. I mean, Adam Humphries, we like Adam Humphries. Adam Humphries, and hope he's okay. That's a good one. Last year there was injuries involved, but he made some big plays. So, okay. Deion Lewis, that was a miss. Right now, Beasley, miss. Jadeveon Clowney, not a miss, but not what you wanted.
No,
not
it's
what
a you, miss. Not what you right
now,
it's
right
a miss.
Now, it's a miss.
It's
right
a miss.
Okay.
It's well, absolutely
change.
A miss.
Still
so,
time. For both of them, I guess.
Yeah, so my,
right
point,
now,
my point is, yeah, he deserves a part of the blame. I think Vrabel deserves a part of the blame because he's trying to be something he's not ready to be yet. He's trying to be Belichick. He's trying to be the CEO of the team. He's trying to just run the room, be the DC, be the head coach, and he's just not there. And I don't know if he's ever going to be. So I don't understand why this was such a difficult thing. Dean Pease, who's one of the most respected defensive coordinators, respective coaches in the league, he retires. Why you wouldn't go out and make a replacement? Even if it's Shane Bowen, even if you did what you did a year before of saying, I'm going to take a guy that's been here, that's earned this opportunity, that's paid his dues. I know a lot of people may look at me and say, hey, who's Arthur Smith? Who's Shane Bowen? What are you doing? But that's what I'm going to do because Bill O'Brien did it for me and others have done it for me. Urban Meyer did it for me, so I'm going to do it for them. He could have just done that, and this conversation would have been steered towards Shane Bowen. It would have been, okay, he's not ready for it. But we had that conversation last year about Arthur Smith. They make a quarterback change, and it all turns around. But the problem is Vrabel won't let go of the reins. He has to be too involved with it, and I think there's obviously some miscues and miscommunications with the team. Kevin Byard said it. So it's on everyone. It's on personnel, which is on the GM, and it's on coaching. And they're 5-2, yes, but that can go away real fast.
Especially look at their schedule.
This is
up.
Not, yeah. It's a tough league. And
I mean, they've got two games against the Colts and the Ravens. That's three of their next four games.
Yeah, and
watched
the
Bears last night. The Bears' defense is really good, and their offense stinks. I watched them just to. I knew we were going to talk about the Bears this week. I watched their game against the Saints. Nick Foles is terrible.
I was watching him for that reason, too.
Their offense is terrible. Well, I was watching it for another reason, but we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. We're definitely going to touch on that. But the Bears' offense is completely inept. It's terrible.
It is.
It is absolutely inept. And if they give up 30 to the Bears, and you think we're going to get on here and say the same thing next Monday, if they give up 30 or more to the Bears' offense, no. No. People are not going to want to hear the same stuff. It's going to be real, real problems. That's at the midway point of your season. Because the reality is, if it doesn't look different, although we thought sacks would happen against a Cincinnati offensive line that was basically a makeshift offensive line. By the way, they didn't have starters. See, they had to plug in people, and they still didn't give up a sack. How did that happen? It happens all the time in the league. If they give up 30 or more to the Bears, this defense isn't going to change.
I'm going to give you the glass half full, though.
And then the question is, can you win long term? Can you make a deep run if your defense can't stop anybody and your defense can't get off the field?
This game is so big on Sunday now because, as you said, the schedule hits a really, really critical spot the following 3 weeks. So this is take care of business. But if they can win 6-2 after 8, you take that all day. Problems and everything.
Sure.
So this is one is huge. Then turn around. You're right. The two games against the Colts might make or break the whole season when you get down to it. I don't know.
Division title, Will.
Yeah, there's a pretty important game in between those two Colts games at Baltimore.
Right, but that's great. If you get that, that's gravy. You know, nobody's going to panic if you lose to Baltimore at Baltimore. Baltimore's a really good team.
It's an AFC team, though.
There's seeding involved.
That game is more important than the Chicago game.
You have to.
That was what was so disappointing yesterday is they did not. It just shows you how tough it is to win in this league. If you have a bad game, Mike Vrabel has said this many times. In this league, if you have a bad game, and the Packers did the same thing. Packers had lost once all year. They're playing at home against a team that's won once all year, and they got smoked. They were lucky to be in it at the end.
The Rams got beat by Tua and the Dolphins.
It happens. Well, the Dolphins aren't bad. I mean, that's another story developing. They could win that division. But there's not that much of a difference. There's not that much of a difference in 5-1 and 1-5. Not in the NFL. Well, so they're not. I still say they're not that far. But it was disappointing not to be able to beat a team. They're not good enough to go out and beat a team that they're better than decisively.
And that's an issue. To me, there's no excuse.
Shows you they're not the Chiefs, right? The Chiefs, they should have mopped the floor with the Jets. They did mop the floor with the Jets. They don't tend to have trouble with the mediocre to poor teams.
There's no excuse to me to play poorly against a bad team. That's you got to have your team ready for that. There's no excuse for how they played yesterday. And the defense was the major part of it. The offense, it wasn't the best. It was not the best game. It was not Tannehill's best game by far.
And but yet they ran for 200-something yards.
I know.
I mean, they did a lot of good things on offense. They just didn't have the ball that much.
Yeah, who's this Foreman guy?
Where did they find him?
Honestly,
is that Chuck Foreman from the Vikings? I'd never heard of the guy.
Did anybody in this market know when you just see him break? I mean, he was fantastic in the short amount of time that we saw him. It was like, who is it? Foreman? Yeah. I mean, who knew?
Eric Foreman?
I was thinking Chuck Foreman from the Vikings. Fran Tarkenton and Chuck Foreman and Alan Page and
how many people
leaders.
Went, oh, cool, Dante Foreman's getting some carries. That's awesome. I mean, how many people blurted that out yesterday? I would say none.
I think most people had the reaction I did. Who the hell is this guy?
We had not mentioned his name once.
Where's Henry?
Nope.
But Henry still rushes for over 100.
Henry did well. He was only in the game for, I think, 53% of the offensive snaps and still had a Derrick Henry kind of day. He's also coming back on the pace where you're not as concerned. They're giving it to him too much. So that's all good, right? The interception in the end zone was a killer. Was a killer.
I think it was probably the worst pass we've seen Tannehill since he's been here.
My jaw dropped. I just couldn't believe he tried that on first and goal. It'd be one thing if it was third and goal and you're behind late in the game. Take a chance. Can't take a sack. But in that, there was just no reason to try it. And, you know, the guy's human, I guess. But when your defense is playing that bad, that you go back and say the offense had to be perfect. And it kind of makes you appreciate how perfect the offense had been to overcome the defense to get to 5-1. But that was a great illustration. And then Gostkowski misses from 53. And the problem is not that he missed from 53, but he's now 10 for 17. And I would like to take a look. It seems like he's missing the same way, right? It leaks out it fades to the right.
We will talk about that on the other side. Special teams, a disaster.
Another poor day yesterday.
And so we will talk about, there's actually a fallout from it. We'll discuss, there is reports out there that they may be losing somebody for a while. So we'll discuss on the other side to close out the first hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase. But first, I want to talk to you about DraftKings, and it is live in Tennessee with mobile sports betting. Yes, we are going to talk about this a little bit later because at 12:01 a.m. Sunday morning, it went live here in this state. DraftKings. You may know them as the leading daily fantasy brand. They have taken their passion for sports and developed America's top-rated sportsbook app. This isn't some offshore operation like a lot of gambling sites. DraftKings is a legitimate sportsbook that is based right here in the U.S. And with the DraftKings Sportsbook app, you can bet wherever, whenever. You don't even have to leave your house. All you have to do is just download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code 1025GAME, 1025GAME, when you sign up. And for a limited time, all new users can get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. That code again, 1025GAME. I used it yesterday, and get your deposit bonus up to $1,000 only on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem or wants help, you can call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase. Brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint. Huh? Did you see what I just did there? We're very excited, guys.
That's good.
To announce a new partnership on this show with Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey. And we're pumped. So you're going to hear that a lot. And you're going to hear us talking about it. It's a bourbon whiskey that's made right there in Memphis, or crafted in Memphis. It's unfiltered. It's 93 proof. I feel like I've been drinking it.
I was just about to ask that.
I haven't been, but I look forward to it. It's distilled in Kentucky, and we are very, very excited and look for it here around town. But our show is now brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint, and it is fantastic. A bourbon whiskey that is crafted in Memphis, in our state, distilled in Kentucky. So we look forward to talking about that, and you're going to hear us talking about it a lot. So let's talk about special teams, speaking of that. It's been a mess all year. It's another part of the problem. We talked about it a lot last Monday. It didn't get any better. I get it. The missed field goal at the end was due to, what is that, 2 weeks in a row? A ball has been snapped from Bo Brinkley, and it's rolled to Brett Kern.
Jeez.
Where they have no chance. I mean, Bo Brinkley's a guy that the only time we've ever brought him up is when he hit a hole in one on a golf course and won, you know, a barrel of Jack Daniels. That's it. I mean, that's a good thing, right? You're not supposed to talk about your long snap.
Right.
That means everything is okay. So for years, the only time we've talked about Bo Brinkley is his hole-in-one on the golf course. That's it. So that's a good thing. Unfortunately, today we're talking about Bo Brinkley for the bad stuff. This is not when you want to be talking about your long snapper, and he has been not good the last couple of weeks. Those snaps are unacceptable.
Basically since the COVID thing.
Yeah, since coming back. It's not been good. And he's given Brett Kern and his kicker, who's already struggling, but he's given Brett Kern no chance. And now Brett Kern's hurt. There's reports out there that Brett Kern may miss some time. So you saw the play yesterday, and it did not look good. And that's just a guy simply, as ridiculous as it sounds, that's a guy they can't lose.
I know. You'd almost be willing to write that off, that missed extra point. You're like, well, they probably weren't going to win anyway. It's kind of,
I said
fluke.
Field goal. I meant miss extra point.
It was the extra point. But Kern gets hurt as a result. And so one of your best special teams weapons, even though that was a rare game where even you're thinking, okay, you're going to punt from around the 40, 45. It's disappointing you don't score, but at least you got Kern, who's likely going to put the ball at the 5-yard line, and even he kicked it into the end zone yesterday. Just the special teams, it's showing up. Boom. You know, you need a big coverage. They give up a big return. You know, it's really uncharacteristic of them for that, right? The defense, you kind of saw it. You're like, you know they're going to have issues. But you've been, at least for me, other than the field goal kicker, I had come to expect good coverage, good decisions, good attention to detail on the coverage and other aspects, the punting game, and it hasn't happened. That's hurting them.
Yeah, and I'm not one to always – I mean, obviously we were just talking about coaching and coaching, you know, being an issue to, you know, the defense, but – I know some people are like, Craig Aukerman, the special teams coach, needs to go. He needs to be fired. I think it's kind of the same thing that we've seen with the defense. It's bad plays. And it's not necessarily personnel, because these are the same people we've been talking about outside of the kicker. But it's just kind of all-encompassing. But is some of it on Aukerman? And you know, are they too comfortable? Is the scheme too comfortable and they need a shake-up? You know, who knows? But if they're going to be without Kern, that's going to create even more problems because he's been so solid.
Well, you'd have to admit, outside of punting, which it doesn't matter, the three of us pick one, can be Brett Kern's coach. You know, on the punting side of special teams, that's one element of special teams. Outside of that, what have they been really good at?
It's a good point. Yeah, I mean, coverage
in the past, I felt like they've been a pretty good coverage team.
Return has been bad. I mean, what are they? You're seeing, by the way, you know, and I know it's not much. There was the first one of the year was yesterday, a punt return for a touchdown, and I can't remember who it was. I'm drawing blanks on one of the games, but that was the first return return punt for a touchdown this season. But I know that's not common, but you can also give up a lot of, you know, people do have good returns. They haven't been having good returns. They haven't covered exactly well. I mean, what are they doing good? And if that's all you can judge somebody on, it is fair to at least bring it up.
We illustrated this going into the game. They were 31st overall in special teams. It's not all because their kicker has struggled or their kicking game has struggled.
It's the entire unit.
It's every aspect of it, and I don't think it's going to get a whole lot better after yesterday. In fact, I don't know who 32nd was, but they're going to give them a run for their money. Two straight weeks they've given up a big return. Mm-hmm. Their defense can afford that. They didn't win the game of the hidden yardage again, which is something that they had done a very good job of in the past. So that one is head-scratching to me. I'm not going to say it's coaching or anything like that. They're just not playing well in that area. I don't know what's going on there.
So what would you guys do?
You just got to get it fixed.
Well, how?
There's not much you can do. Chase, there's not guys, you know, next door to, you know, the bubble over there all waiting to get in and do a better job. I mean, you got to fix it from within. I think they know that. Maybe they could make one trade, maybe. And I'm like you, Jace. I'm kind of skeptical that they're really going to do anything. But by and large, the improvement has to come from within. This is who they've got.
Well, I will
say
this.
So let me pose this to you guys. And Willie, I'm going to start with you. Of all the problems that we've been talking about, really all season, there were problems even though they're winning, and that's fine. As we discussed, you win. Wins don't come easy in the NFL, so you take them however you get them. Whether they're ugly, they don't have to be pretty, you escape, whatever, you have a little luck go your way, whatever it may be, there were still problems even in wins. I mean, they had three missed field goals and an extra point in a victory. That's still a problem. But with special teams, kicking, defense, no pass rush, can't get off the field on third down. By the way, Cincinnati 10 for 15.
The Titans, same thing every week.
They're the worst in the league. And since they've been keeping the stat, which I think goes back 30 years, they're the worst ever since they've been keeping third down stats.
And the next worst, if you read the list of teams, the next worst, they're all horrendous teams.
Right. They weren't 5-0 teams, really, and then 5-2 teams.
Right. That's the thing. I mean, they are very, very fortunate to be 5-2 in spite of that stat. So this is what gives you hope.
So with that being said, what, in your opinion, because you, when we sit here and go, well, they just got to get it fixed. I mean, just figure out how to get it fixed. If you could only pick one that massively improves the second half of the season or improves the most, however you want to say it, which comes out and pulls away from the other ones, Willie, where would you start? Who do you? Which one do you think has the best shot of getting better
okay.
the rest of the way?
So the best shot of getting better.
The best
right?
shot if I, at if getting
I could,
better.
Right. If I could wave a magic wand, I would say the one that would have the biggest domino effect would be a pass rush. But I'm not sure they can fix it.
I didn't say which one you
so
want.
Which has the
I'm
best
saying
one?
Which one do you think will have the best shot at getting better moving forward?
But you're not.
I think the special teams will be better.
And I kind of want to separate kicking, special teams, getting to the quarterback, sacks, whatever, however you want to label that department, and getting off the field, third downs. So
also, you
got to
tell me, I don't know
categories.
How bad Kern, if he's got a wrist or something where he can't catch the snap and he's out for a couple weeks.
That's what I'm saying.
Good.
I think we may find out today that he may be missing some time.
Oof.
So your answer is what?
Kern's out. All I heard was,
oof.
Well, I said special teams, but I think they can just do a better job of coverage.
Coverage. So better job.
Kick coverage.
Well, you get it, but what? Okay, so you can do a better job of coverage. What about them providing anything on their return game? I think we've had a moment from Raymond. That's really about it.
No, he's doing okay, but he's not going to be.
I just don't feel like there's
Devin
an
Hester.
Emphasis on return anymore.
Yeah, very few teams are getting a whole lot in that. I don't see him making poor decisions. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that. He had one against the Steelers that cost them, right? It was not a good decision. Backed them up.
Yep.
But remember how bad it was at times last year where they had to put Humphreys back there. They really were struggling just to catch the ball.
Okay, so you are kind of all over the place. I don't
I,
know
no,
if
I said,
really
have I said anything with special teams? I said special teams.
Okay, coverage. Okay, Chase, quickly, what do you got?
I mean, it's going to be pass rush.
So you think the pass rush will get better?
I thought the way you were asking it, if you could wave a magic wand. Sorry, I misunderstood you. But, no, then I would say special teams.
I said, which one do you think has the best shot at getting better the second half of the season? That's it. Not which one you want. Which one do you think?
Special teams.
So you two are saying special teams.
Yeah. I mean, because
so there's no faith that the defense can get fixed.
Right, because there is no magic wand. That's the point we can take from this. There is no magic wand. And if Vrabel comes out today and he goes, guys, you know what? I did a lot of thinking after Joe's question yesterday, and we are going to name a defensive coordinator.
That's not happening.
Right. Dean's going to come out of retirement for a third time and come help us out. He's moving. He's still here in Nashville, so he's going to join. He'll be available tomorrow. So thanks for that suggestion, Joe. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No, it's not. All right, we will come back. We will talk with TD Teron Davenport to start the second hour. Darren Donick and Chase, that's next.